This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Tuesday morning. What is up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. We've got ourselves an on-location show. We'll be here all week. We're in Washington, D.C. It's quiet now. It'll be slightly louder later. It's Pillow Fight Tuesday at the ACC tournament. Thankfully, we can call it that with no shame whatsoever, because Virginia Tech is not playing today. That's right. Virginia Tech's win over Notre Dame has relegated the Fighting Irish to today's Pillow Fight Tuesday opener. They'll take on Georgia Tech at 2 o'clock down here, Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. Three games on tap today. NC State plays Louisville in a game of all-around disappointment. If you're playing today, something went wrong. And for NC State, that something was pretty much everything this year. Louisville never had a chance. They were always destined to be a part of today's events. We'll close the night with Boston College in Miami. Coach Jim Larrañaga. Very surprising to see him on Tuesday as we get this thing rolling. Cowan Gates, full-service law firm, is putting us up here in D.C. for the week, a whole week of live shows from one of my favorite sporting events, the ACC Basketball Tournament. This is going to be a good one, too, because you've got your stories at the top. We've got UNC. We've got Duke. They're rolling, but we've got our stories down the line as well. Can Pitt sneak its way in? They're in the quarterfinals. Can they find their way through? Virginia, do they need a win? I don't think they need a win, but if they lose, they could end up in Dayton. They could be a play-in candidate. Clemson has been red hot. They're the sixth seed. They'll get UVA. That's a favorable draw on the bracket. Wake Forest as well. Sitting there at the five seed, a Wake Forest Pitt game on Friday, on Thursday, that one would be a ton of fun as well. Already losing track of what day it is around here. We're going to dive into the world of basketball, everything going on. You'll hear from JMU coach Mark Byington. The Dukes are dancing. They join Longwood. All the hand-wringing, all the panic. Will we have a state team? Ha! We've already got two. We've got two teams dancing. JMU's dancing after last night's win over the Red Wolves, and Longwood is dancing. They came out of nowhere to win the Big South tournament. I was at the CAA tournament last night, got up here early, watch a little basketball. Had a really fun time out there. I'll tell you about that at 10:30. At 10:15, we're going to go around the NFL free agencies going on. But I want to lead with this because he's a local guy, Cleland Farrell. You remember him, Benedictine High School standout, went to Clemson, and now is playing with the Washington Commanders. The report from Diana Russini of The Athletic a few minutes ago, he will sign a one-year deal with the Washington Commanders to play defensive end. Now, we always love having local guys on. Of course, it was fun to have Morgan Moses on the team for so long, and you know, we get tech guys rolling through. But there's another reason why I love the Cleland Farrell signing. We had him on the show. You remember the Niners were here against the Commanders in December. We had him on the show the next day, and one of the things he talked about, you remember he was a top 10 draft pick. He was taken by the Raiders. And really, it kind of had a disappointing career there where it just, you know, did not reach that level of hype. Solid player, didn't reach that level of hype. He became a free agent, and he called all his Clemson buddies. He was telling us this story. We'll pull this for down the line. He was telling us that he called all his Clemson buddies and he said, where should I go, right? Like, this isn't about money right now. This is about me getting in the best spot as a football player to set up to have a career. And he said, everybody told me, you got to go to San Francisco. They got it going on there. The 49ers, that's a place you want to be. They'll take care of you. The players, you know, the players are helpful. The coaches are helpful. The organizations, everybody's pulling in the same direction. And so he went to the 49ers. He said, I've loved it here. This has been fantastic. Now, obviously, everybody loves being on a winning team. But, you know, the point being, you know, he's gotten the chance to play at that level and wanted to play for San Francisco. Now, Adam Peters, assistant general manager, is your new general manager of the Washington Commanders. Cleland Farrell's coming here for a year. That tells me that's a culture pick as much as anything else. You also love to see a guy who wants to be here. And we'll get a chance to play big minutes here. We'll dive into the Commanders in a bit. A lot of their signings are guys who were backups on their teams, want a chance to prove themselves, want a chance to be starters in the NFL. I think Cleland Farrell will get that chance in D.C. Be excited to catch up with him in the coming days. They can't make that official until Wednesday. We're still in the legal tampering period. I know everybody loves a good legal tampering. We're legally tampering until Wednesday. That's when they can put pen on paper. Wednesday afternoon, tomorrow at, I believe, 4 o'clock is when Cleland Farrell can sign. But bringing the Benedictine kid back home to the Commanders, Adam Peters bringing a guy he knows in after a day where they signed some guys that a lot of the coaches on the team knew, and on et cetera, with all these signings, they're coming fast and furious. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll dive into each of the signings individually, but we'll certainly have a lot to talk about here with NFL free agency cooking. This is a basketball segment, though, and we want to start on the court last night. Hazel, this is clip number 5. This is JMU cutting down some nets. Let's hear it.
Here's James Madison has punched its ticket to the NCAA tournament. Holy mama, the Dukes are dancing. Our final score here in Pensacola, James Madison 91, Arkansas State 71. James Madison, the 2024 Sun Belt Tournament champions.
A long road, a productive road. You know, you wondered what would it be like if they took on App State in the title game. Never had to worry about that. App State got knocked off by Arkansas State. Still, this was a Dukes team that was tested. JMU coach Mark Byington, you know, talked about the you know, this was a team that had to grind its way through the tournament. Got tested, close game late against Texas State. They were the 11 seed. They were you know, as the 11th seed, they were under the radar, right? That's so much a march is the team playing with nothing to lose. Well, JMU played like they had the pressure on them, but last night they delivered. The young guys playing well. One turnover in 20 consecutive minutes of basketball. You can win a lot of games that way. By the way, they're going to the tournament, and they're going to be a tough out for somebody. Here's JMU coach Mark Byington. You don't hear this side of him a whole lot, but guy standing on the tail says, give me some respect.
You know what was crazy? I felt this way as we're coming down here. I felt like people forgot about us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were on an incredible win streak, and it's like, well, we weren't fading. And we were battling and everything else. And I knew we'd take care of business down here. The way we practiced, and these guys, this was their mission. They were solely focused on this tournament. And, you know, it's not like we were asking for respect, but, you know, you can stamp it on us now. I mean, they got to give us respect for what we've done the entire year.
They beat Michigan State in East Lansing in their opener. They backed it up. They won 31 college basketball games this year. They played great in the finals. I think they hadn't been getting the right amount of respect nationally, in that, you know, people are talking about, would they be in the tournament if they lost last night? Patrick Stevens, that's my guy, Patrick Stevens. He does bracketology for the Washington Post. We were chatting last night at the CAA game. Always love running into him. We'll have him on the show this week. Patrick's been my guy ever since 2011, so that's a long time ago. He told me VCU is going to be in the tournament, and I said, well, look, you're the expert, not me, but everybody else says they're not in the tournament. Goes, no, they'll be in the bracket. And they were, and it worked out all right for VCU. He's been my guy ever since. But he said he thought JMU was a Dayton team if they had lost last night. And if you want to call that disrespect, feed on it. If you are JMU basketball, take whatever motivation you need, because I think a lot of people are going to be riding the Dukes bandwagon. If they pop up as a 12 seed and 11 seed on Selection Sunday, I think a lot of people are going to be picking them to win a game at the NCAA tournament. All right, we got a fun day here for you. We're in D.C. Cowan Gates, full-service law firm, is sponsoring our ACC tournament coverage this week. We get underway today. Awad's on his way to Brooklyn. He'll be at the A-10 tournament, which is going to be a fascinating one as well. He sat down with VCU coach Ryan Odom yesterday. That interview is going to air at 1 o'clock. I want to play a clip from that for you. I think we'll run late on this segment. That's all right. We got a lot to cover. It's March. It's basketball. We're excited. Here's Adam chatting with VCU basketball coach Ryan Odom. This is a long answer, but it's a great answer. So let's play the whole thing.
We've seen big leads come and disappear. What do you think is the key to keeping a big lead?
Yeah, it's playing more consistently, right? In the game the other day, you know, leading into halftime, wasn't as concerned, but, you know, you go back and you watch it, you know, we had some mishaps in transition defense, and they were matching us differently, right? Like, they had Holmes on a different matchup than normal. And at times, because he's guarding a guard, now all of a sudden he's at the rim, you know, and our fives are trailing a little bit. And so they did a nice job of picking on that a little bit. And our guys began to figure it out. We missed a layup in transition, and all of a sudden they score the other direction. And so it was a quick turnaround, you know, to get it to six. And then we scored on that last play to make it, you know, the two free throws to make it seven or eight. I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was seven, wasn't it, at half?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was seven at half. But, you know, it's no leads are safe in college basketball, certainly not in the NBA.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. You're so right about that.
You know, like, teams, you could be playing your best basketball and really imposing your will, and then the other team kind of wakes up and they begin to play really well and impose their will on you, and it's a back and forth. And certainly we wanted to maintain a bigger margin there, but it's hard to fight off teams like that that are undefeated at home, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is a veteran team, you know, with an NBA player on their roster. So you're not going to shut them out. I was proud of the guys, you know, withstanding every run and being up three there, having a chance to win, you know, having the ball at the end to win the game. But our execution just wasn't quite, you know, good enough to be able to win a close game like that.
He goes even deeper on the Dayton game in that interview, which you'll want to hear 1 o'clock today right here on The Fan. Awad sitting down with VCU basketball coach Ryan Odom. I said, he's got a basketball mind, and he knows what it takes to win at a tournament. And I don't know if this is the team or this is the year, but I do like everything he brings to the table. I love his thoughtful approach to basketball and to what happened. And like I said, he went even deeper on those last possessions and what the team should have done, and, you know, what he needs to do to coach them towards a team that has flaws, has weaknesses. We've talked about that. Doesn't have a five. But at the same time, a team with a lot of potential, a lot of offense, and that can be really fun to watch at times. So all that on tap. We're in D.C. at the ACC tournament. Starts today, 2 o'clock. Not a lot of noise here now. There will be come tomorrow when Virginia Tech tips off at noon. We're building towards a really fun week of basketball. VCU getting ready to go in Brooklyn, as are the Spiders. They're the one seed up there. JMU punches their ticket, and across town tonight, the CAA will crown a champ. Great week for basketball. Great month for basketball. We'll dive into a little bit of NFL. It'll be primarily, you know, basketball show here in this hour, but I want to do a little NFL because it was a wild day in the league yesterday. We'll touch on that when we get back. This is MP on the mic now. 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
All right, one other NFL note I left off during that segment. The San Francisco 49ers, who have now lost Cleveland Farrell, signed a pair of defensive ends yesterday. That tells me they're not going to re-sign Chase Young. I am very curious how the Chase Young market shakes out. He'll land somewhere. There's too much talent not to. But, I mean, he had the perfect situation, right, when he left Washington. We talk about good guys and bad guys, right? We talk about that with Russell Wilson, how when Russ left Seattle, he was the bad guy. But now leaving Denver, he's the good guy. He goes to Pittsburgh. Great situation for him. People are rooting for him. It's a chance to get back with an iconic team, a team that has really struggled in the quarterback department. Chase Young left Washington. You know, he had the chance to frame this as he was done wrong by, you know, the Dan Snyder, Ron Rivera regime. He goes to the perfect situation in San Francisco where he's got his former college teammate. He's got Trent Williams, his former pro teammate. He's got, you know, a support system there, a winning team. Does not have to carry the load, doesn't have to be the guy. He's just there, being Chase Young, playing hard, chance to rehab his image. He really didn't, though. A lot of the clip, he made plays. He had a good Super Bowl, by the way, and Trent didn't, which is kind of funny because Trent dominated all year, but didn't in the Super Bowl. And then Chase Young did dominate in the Super Bowl. A very weird game. But for Chase Young, most of the clips that were sent around all year were him taking plays off and him, you know, not playing to his full potential. He made plays, but not enough to get on a national radar by any stretch, and not enough to win himself a big contract in free agency. I'm curious. He will end up somewhere, but the Chase Young market is very fascinating to me. We'll see how that develops over the coming days. Last night, got up to D.C. early. I had a chance to go over the CAA tournament. CAA semifinals were last night. Great, great basketball. If the basketball's this good the rest of the week, we're in D.C., by the way. Cowan Gates, our friends at Cowan Gates, we can't say that enough times because we are grateful for their support as we are all our sponsors. And if you find yourself needing a lawyer, Cowan Gates would be an excellent choice. So we're in D.C. all week. ACC tournament starts here in about 3.5 hours with the Pillow Fight Tuesday, as we've dubbed it. The real tournament starts tomorrow. Always fun to get over there, get acclimated, though, get settled in, which we'll do. And we'll bring you some interviews from all that in tomorrow's program, of course, as we get you ready for Virginia Tech tip-off noon tomorrow. Hokies against Florida State. March is here, and it is here on 910 The Fan. Of course, you'll hear VCU here on The Fan as well tomorrow, 2 o'clock tip out in Brooklyn. AWOD will be on his way up after today's show, I believe, up to Brooklyn on the train. I've seen some of the North Carolina people. They're on the train rolling up here right now. Love a good Amtrak. I got in a day early last night to go watch some CAA basketball. Love the CAA. Love that event. Love those teams, right? That, you know, they're hanging on to that mid-major status. But what I saw last night was really good basketball. Charleston, who's the one seed, against Towson, local favorite, right? Just right down the road from Baltimore here. They had a great crowd. Towson's up 7, 3 minutes left in the game. Charleston fought back, clawed back, made some key shots, some big shots. In the late game, Stony Brook, the 7 seed, held Hofstra at arm's length for the second half and survived a wild late sequence. Hofstra had a chance to get back in it late. Stony Brook, the 7 seed, will play Charleston tonight. Great event out there. And that's, you know, we talked about kind of the new arena in Henrico and has a perfect place to have the women's basketball tournament. And that's the perfect place to have the CAA men's basketball tournament. It's the entertainment sports arena here. It's where the Mystics and the Go-Go, the G League team play. Great setup. It's a small arena, but it's packed with all the amenities. It's got the TV. It's got two tiers. It's got the luxury spaces. I came away really impressed. I know some other people have been up there before for events. I had not. That was my first time over there. I came away really impressed by what they've done with it, and certainly the environment the CAAs create. That's hard to do, because we talk about that with the A-10 in Brooklyn, right? There's a lot of days in Brooklyn that are dead. There's a lot of games in Brooklyn that just don't have juice, you know? The Bonnies travel, VCU travels, sometimes you get the Philly teams traveling, but they play a lot of games. You know, that upper deck's blocked off there. It feels like they've overshot on venue to try to grab, you know, that New York prestige. Oh, we're in New York, just like the Big East or whatever it is. It feels like they overshoot sometimes on that venue. Not the case here. You know, nice small venue. People are packed in, making noise, good environment. I was struck, though. You know, they built it in Anacostia in Southside, D.C., and you've heard the pitch by now, right? We're going to build the arena. We're going to revitalize the neighborhood. I'm Ted Leonsis. I approve this message, blah, blah, blah. Not everything revitalizes the neighborhood. And, you know, football stadiums are an important one to keep in mind, too, right? That football stadiums generally don't, because you only play 10 games a year. A football team gets 10 home games a year, you know, between preseason and regular season. That's not enough to build an infrastructure around it. Same thing here, right? It's the Mystics and it's the Go-Go. Mystics are a good team. They've got Elena Deladon. She's great. But the neighborhood hasn't been revitalized by any stretch around it. And it's a tough situation, right, for the arena to be in a spot where, you know, you really can't go out to eat before the game or all those things that people are accustomed to. So a cautionary tale as we talk about arenas. They don't always, you know, obviously the Alexandria one would drop into a fully functional neighborhood. But as we talk about the Commanders Stadium, that's something that you have to keep in mind. Not all arenas achieve their intended purpose, right? That neighborhood hasn't been revitalized in the way that, you know, Nats Park did for Southeast D.C. But it was a great event. I'm excited for tonight's CAA final. We got the ACC tournament underway today, A-10 tournament underway today. March is finally here. We're up in D.C. watching a lot of basketball. Cowan Gates is sponsoring that. They're paying us to watch a lot of basketball. Life is good up here. JMU last night, it wasn't who you thought it would be. That's what impressed me. Let's play the clip. Here's JMU getting a little action from Xavier Brown.
Xavier Brown lobs it up top. Wooden dribble handoff for Noah Friedel. Obviously guarding Noah a little tighter. X is open. He'll take a 28-foot three. Yes, sir!
There you go. That's Xavier Brown. 21 points last night. Terrence Edwards, 19 points. If you had told me Terrence Edwards wasn't going to lead the team in scoring, I was going to say either they're going to lose or they're going to win. They're going to lose because nobody picked up the slack, or they're going to win because they got a balanced effort. And they got a balanced effort last night. Double-double for Xavier Brown. 21 points, 10 rebounds. Here is JMU coach Mark Byington on getting the young guys in a big situation.
Yeah, I mean, those two, I mean, you talk about being ready for a moment in a big stage. Xavier Brown was in some kind of zone, and I think everybody's want to stay away from him. Like this, I mean, he was on fire. And his speed, his aggressiveness, his shots just got us going. And then he kind of took a break a little bit, then it was Jalen Carey's time. And that's what this team is. And if you look at the bench, when this is what I love. You look at the bench when Xavier Brown was doing that, the bench was happy for him. All right. Then you look at what Jalen Carey was doing. I mean, the bench was going crazy. And then it's their time, too. So we're a deep team. And, yeah, the young guys were ready to play today.
We played the clip earlier. He said, give us our respect. This isn't just the Stars. This isn't just a one-man show. This is a good basketball team front to back. They emptied the bench, by the way, at the end. 14 players in the game for James Madison. Xavier Brown, 8 for 11 shooting. You're going to win a lot of games like that. The Dukes are going to be a tough out for somebody in March. I don't know who that somebody is. We'll find out at the bracket reveal on Sunday. A lot of people are going to be telling you to fill in the Dukes on that bracket. 31 wins this season in the NCAA Sun Belt title, 91-71 over Arkansas State. They won their way through it. They've proven themselves at every step along the journey. Mark Byington, he said it in the 10 o'clock hour, give us our respect. They're standing up for it, and they'll be having a Selection Sunday watch party. They're in the dance, folks. JMU punching their ticket along with Longwood. We've got two state teams dancing on this Tuesday morning. More to come, of course, as the week goes on. Will UVA find its way in? You know, they're going to play a tough game in their ACC opener here. We'll be here for that. You know, Virginia Tech, crazier things have happened. We've seen them win an ACC tournament before. It's going to take a lot. 4 games in 4 days starting tomorrow. It's going to be a fun March. You know this. We're the station that has you covered all over for March Madness. But you also know this. We're the only station that demands to know where Kate Middleton is and gives you the most Iditarod coverage in town. We will do that on the other side of this. That's a tease. They call that a tease in the industry. Get back here on the other side. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the free Odyssey app. That's how I'm going to have to listen to AWOD Radio today. By the way, he's got VCU coach Ryan Odom on the program at 1 o'clock for 2 segments of VCU talk. Nobody's got better March basketball than 910 The Fan. I'm going to have to listen on the Odyssey app because we are up in DC ACC tournament tips off at 2 o'clock today. We're counting down to tip off up here in Washington, DC. Notre Dame, Georgia Tech. Things are quiet at the moment. Tomorrow during this program, things are going to be quite loud. We'll be inside the arena getting you ready. Virginia Tech, Florida State. Thankfully, Virginia Tech hung on against Notre Dame, won that game on Saturday, means they avoid today's pillow fight Tuesday, jump right into the real action tomorrow. So noon tip, of course, we'll get you ready for that. We'll get you ready for Brooklyn. It's a special time of year. Cowan Gates making our coverage possible. And I know everybody's dialed in, ready to see what the local teams accomplish, especially on the heels of a pretty exciting weekend for our local teams. Longwood and JMU already in the NCAA tournament. But we've also got to take on NFL free agency. Things were flying yesterday, and things went late into the night yesterday. It was a big day for the Commanders. Not the splash signings. We told you they weren't going to do the splash signings. It didn't stop me from being hopeful. I was kind of hopeful Bryce Huff would come. You know, they'd get a big pass rusher. They'd spend on a guy, you know, who could get after the quarterback. But I think we all knew that's not what Adam Peters was going to do. I think we all knew that's not this team's approach, this team's strategy. So as much as I want it, as much as I would have enjoyed going big at a position like that, right? And we'll talk about all the players here in a second, but we're going to talk about the defense primarily because I think the defense and a lot of these signings, you know, we're rebuilding the defense. That's your spot where you can get the most immediate returns, right? That's your spot where you can pick and say, hey, you know, this is a team that underachieved the last few years, which is crazy to say under Ron Rivera, defensive coach. But that's where you can get your immediate returns. You got a rookie quarterback. He could be awesome. He might not be awesome out of the gate. He might need some developing. I'm a huge fan of developing rookie quarterbacks and not playing them right away. But that defense can give you the boost you need right out of the gate to win a few more games, right? You know, the bar is 4. You can clear that by winning 7, by winning 8. So I think that's the good spot Dan Quinn's in. And I think for Adam Peters, you saw a lot of emphasis on value yesterday. So let's run down some of these guys. I want to start with Nick Allegretti. So we'll talk about defense in a second, obviously. But offensive line, Nick Allegretti, Kansas City Chiefs, backup guard. He's started 4 games over the last 3 years. Most notable because he had a great performance in the Super Bowl, tore the UCL in his elbow in the second quarter of the Super Bowl, finished the game, kept Patrick Mahomes clean enough to win the Super Bowl there in the fourth quarter and down in overtime. He's getting the prove it treatment, right? He He was the backup in Kansas City. He's ready to be a starter somewhere. Washington's going to give him that opportunity. We saw that with Cody Barton last year, right? Had been a backup in Seattle all those years. Wanted to come somewhere where he could be the green dot linebacker, call the plays. Same thing here, Nick Allegretti. He's going to get a chance to be an integral part and a starter on the offensive line. Now, that comes with question marks. You never quite know what these guys are going to turn out to be. When you've got guys who have been career backups, longtime backups, it's an adjustment. It's not just a physical adjustment. I don't have to tell you it's a physical adjustment. Of course, it's a physical adjustment. It's also teams are going to have more tape of you. Teams are going to have more opportunities to see your tendencies, see your weaknesses. All of those things come with it. But Nick Allegretti's ready for that. And certainly that's as good as the team was going to be able to do at that price point in the market. I'm a fan of that signing. I think that, you know, as they rebuild the offensive line, you give a guy who doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires an opportunity to win a spot. You know, this isn't like going out and getting a 33-year-old, a 34-year-old. This is a guy who could play into the prime of the Adam Peters years here, into the new quarterback's prime if things go well and if he ends up being a fit. If he doesn't end up being a fit, you know, none of these deals yesterday were past 3 years. And I think that's very intentional, right? You draft a quarterback this year. He's on the rookie contract for those first 3 years. The fourth year, you can start negotiating. They have the fifth year option, the extension, all those things. That's very intentional, right? You can build your roster however you want to build your roster for the next 3 years. When you got rookie quarterback money, then things change when you start having guys who are coming in. You know, the quarterback wants his raise. Everybody wants their raise. So I think that's something to keep an eye on here. A lot of three-year deals, that's the number you're going to hear on a lot of these, because that's when you reset. That's when you have to go into a different mode of roster building if you hit on the quarterback, if that ends up being a success for you. So Nick Allegretti at guard. You've also got a center coming, Tyler Biadasz. Tyler Biadasz, 3 years, $30 million. Now, they drafted a center in the third round last year, Ricky Stromberg. This doesn't bother me at all. You can't have enough depth on the offensive line. How many years have we seen? I mean, goodness, this team alone has probably played just about everybody at center over the last few years. They've even had to go out to the waiver wire. Remember John Toth, the Calvin Klein model, who ended up being center here for a week or two? Right, you don't just assume you hire an offensive lineman, he plays you 17 games. So your Morgan Moseses, Charles Lenos of the world, they just don't exist generally. You're going to have to go through guys. And by the way, both of those guys who I listed as examples would have been wise to sit out some games and not preserve their streak because they weren't always at 100%. So you've got Tyler Biadasz coming in as the center. I'm going to say I like this one as well. A very reasonable contract for him. This also is an opportunity to get a veteran guy next to your new quarterback, right? So Ricky Stromberg, he hasn't been in the NFL. He hasn't been a starter week in, week out in the NFL. You're talking about the quarterback. That's an important part of the team. What can you do to make his life easier? I'll save Austin Eckler for AWOD because that's his guy. I love the price, about $6 million guaranteed. That's way lower than what the Saquon market came in at, what the Derrick Henry market came in at, the Tony Pollard market. I think he brings good value. I don't know if he's an every down player at this stage of his career, but if you're telling me they signed a guy who's got, you know, double digit NFL touchdowns in several seasons for $6 million, you're not going to miss that money. That is pocket, a couch cushion money to the Washington Commanders right now. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We've got a lot of connections on these, by the way. A lot of Cowboys guys, obviously. Dan Quinn knows them. Anthony Lynn on offense knows Austin Eckler, of course, from his time coaching the Chargers. You know, and we rode Ron Rivera for that. And I'm going to ride these guys for that, for not going young, for not going innovative. I do get the sense, though, Adam Peters is saying, do whatever you want. I'm going to overhaul this thing with rookies over the next few years. I get this. With Ron Rivera, that was the plan. The plan was bring in the Carolina crew and dominate, which was never going to happen. You get the sense this isn't the final plan here, right? That the final plan here is Adam Peters loads this team with rookies. You phase out Austin Eckler. You phase out all these guys they were signing. So that's why I'm maybe not as worked up about these. Look, this isn't yesterday's moves for the Commanders did not indicate a team that all of a sudden is going to be, you know, in contention in the NFC East. They're not. And certainly not the way the rest of the division reacted yesterday. We'll get to the Dallas Cowboys. Their fans have to be disappointed with what they saw. The Giants coming out swinging. The Eagles coming out swinging. Cowboys sitting around. And they had to sit around, right? They don't have the money to spend. But watching the Eagles go wild, Eagles think that they can win this division next year. It's setting up a really fun division. Commanders are biding their time. They're not going to win the division this year. I say that it's the NFL. Anybody could win the division, of course. These are moves that say, let's stabilize, and then we're going to get the reinforcements. The reinforcements are coming through the draft, and that's what matters. On defense, defensive end, Dorrance Armstrong, he was also not a starter in Dallas. Now, Dan Quinn loves a good rotation. He's not done yet at defensive end. He's not done at edge rusher. Certainly, I think it's very reasonable to assume they'll use a draft pick on an edge rusher. I think it's pretty reasonable to assume that they're going to bring in a lot of depth there, because right now, all they've got is KJ Henry from last year. They've got the other late round guys who are still developing, but you know, everybody walks. Will they bring Casey Tuhill or James Smith Williams back? I don't know. We'll see. But Dorrance Armstrong's your guy there. But the big one for me on defense is linebacker Frankie Louvu, who comes over from the Panthers. 3 years, $36 million is the essentials on that deal. Could go up to $43 million if he hits his incentives. Why do I like that? He's good as a player. The highlight reel's good. He gets after the quarterback. He's a pass-rushing linebacker. There's a lot to like on the tape. That's not why I like it. I like it because all of a sudden, linebacker's back in D.C. We had under Jack Del Rio a defense that just completely ignored the linebacker position, right? And so it's good to have a true linebacker back in the building, playing middle linebacker. No disrespect to Cody Barton, who I did like a lot, but he just wasn't used in the Jack Del Rio defense. So Jack Del Rio defense said, let's do some cornerbacks, let's do some defensive backs, let's do some defensive linemen, and then we'll just forget about linebacker. Will teams pick them apart over the middle? How many tight ends had career days in the past few years against the Washington Commanders? Good to see linebacker back as a position, right? You spend $36 million on a position. It says you're going to play that position. And linebacker, still a part of the game of football, as far as I know, as far as I can tell. The other one, Brandon McManus late last night, 1 year, $3.6 million. He'll replace Joey Sly. We like Joey because he was from Fredericksburg and he was ripped. Dude had muscles that kickers should not have. But Brandon McManus, obviously proven NFL kicker. That's a great example of if you've got the money, spend the money. They've got a ton of salary cap space. They're not going to use it all this year. You can roll some of it over, but you've got to hit a salary floor as well. This is a great way to do that and add at a proven position, and always a position in need, right? You always need a kicker who will come in the clutch. His numbers are good. His numbers aren't great, but a veteran kicker and certainly a very reasonable way to spend that money. Pair him with Tress Way and see how he is at trivia, because Tress Way is Mr. Trivia. All right, so that is that's Washington Commanders free agency. We took a spin around the NFL earlier in the show. I want to get back to basketball, though, because that's why we're here in Washington, D.C. Thanks to our friends at Cowan Gates. ACC tournament tips off today, just a couple hours away. 2 o'clock start here in D.C. ACC tournament underway. One of my absolute favorite events of the year, getting us ready for the big bracket on Sunday night. AWOD Radio takes over. He will be headed up to Brooklyn. His interview with VCU coach Ryan Odom today at 1 p.m. Really fun day on the Fan. Thank you for joining us for it. On the other side, JMU basketball is the winner of the Sun Belt tournament. They are going dancing. We'll dive into that on the other side of this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Tuesday morning, we roll along in hour number two. It's the perfect time of year for brackets. We've got one right here at the ACC tournament. We're here all week thanks to our friends at Cowan Gates Legal Services. Think of them. They are a full-service law firm. We'll be talking more about them all week as we get you ready. And they're huge sponsors of Virginia Tech football, basketball, all the sports. Tech women getting ready for their spot in the NCAA tournament. We saw the latest bracketology, which still has them hosting a regional in Blacksburg. That's so huge for them, of course, for the community, to get great basketball in front of people out there in Blacksburg. The men take on Florida State tomorrow at noon. They won their way out of today's play-in games, which will start at about 2 o'clock. So tomorrow, when you hear us, the background's going to be loud. It's going to be rowdy. We're going to be getting you ready for Virginia Tech basketball against Florida State. It'll be a noon tip tomorrow. That'll lead into VCU basketball at 2 o'clock. It truly is the best time of year, and we're happy you're spending it with us right here on 910 The Fan. Also, AWOD's got his burger bracket going for the best hamburger in Richmond. It's truly a golden era for brackets, folks, and we love that. Great bracket developing up here. I got in early yesterday, not early because the drive was a mess yesterday. I know that'll stun you to learn that 95 was a mess. Came up yesterday after the show. Didn't have anything to do last night, so I did what people do who love sports. Went over the CAA tournament at the Entertainment Sports Arena here in D.C. I talked about that. The arena a little bit more in hour number one, but it was a fantastic night of basketball, and that's a great tournament. Can't go without getting great memories of all those events at the Richmond Coliseum and the golden era of CAA basketball, right? Well, it's a pretty good era right now. Charleston is the one seed, and they were down 7 with 2 minutes left, had to fight their way back to a very nice win over Towson. Tons of Towson fans, of course, here so close to Baltimore in D.C., great atmosphere back and forth down the stretch. Charleston gutting it out to the finish. They'll play tonight against Stony Brook, the 7 seed, who won a back and forth with Hofstra. Just fantastic basketball in both games. Close games, great shots, great performances. We'll get Stony Brook against Charleston up here tonight to award a spot in the NCAA tournament. We're starting to give out those dance card invitations here as we get to this time of year. One other big winner, by the way, JMU basketball. And they continue to trend because remember, they were the 2 seed coming into the Sun Belt tourney. App State was the 1 seed, Appalachian State, and they fell. Only one number 1 seed has won a conference tournament so far. So we've given away 6 tickets to the dance. Only one seed has won their conference tournament. So I think Charleston probably makes that 2 tonight. But an interesting trend so far. We've had some upsets up and down the line. UR will be your number 1 up in Brooklyn. I don't think they're a given by any stretch to win. That's nothing against their team. Nothing against Chris Mooney, who you know I love. That's just to say there's a lot of really good teams playing up there. You look at Richmond's going to have to play St. Joe's or George Mason in the first round, in the quarterfinal round. There's some good teams in the A-10. St. Bonaventure's a 7 seed. I'm not sleeping on the Bonnies. I'm never sleeping on the Bonnies in New York. They have a great crowd that travels with them wherever they go. The ACC tournament, I think, is probably a little more favorite heavy. I think you look at UNC and Duke as being the pretty clear favorites to make it to Saturday night, to make it to the finals of this event. But man, JMU basketball, they are the winners. 31 wins this season. Now, we always have to give the disclaimer, for NCAA purposes, only 30 of them count. 30 is still a big number, by the way. They beat Michigan State on the road to open the season in overtime. Great win for them. They've just had success across all the sports this year. Their football, their non-revenue sports, the Olympic sports have been fantastic as well. Lots of NCAA appearances. A great year for Jeff Bourne, the athletic director, to step aside, right? He's retiring after just a great run, guiding that school from nothing to something. And they weren't nothing, but he really built them into a national power and a team that is being taken seriously at the highest levels of NCAA football, men's basketball. The women's basketball team was playing for the Sun Belt title yesterday. Their lacrosse team is rolling, the women's lacrosse team. Kudos to what Jeff Bourne has done there. Obviously, football's the moneymaker and football drives everything. But you look, they've sustained success in a lot of sports, and I think that's really cool what they've been able to do there. And congrats to the Dukes. They're going dancing. They join Longwood. David Teal drops this nugget on us. That means there's going to be 2 teams from Virginia for the 15th consecutive NCAA men's basketball tournament. JMU and Longwood both in. Would not surprise me at all if Longwood ends up in Dayton in the play-in game. Teams with a losing record often find themselves there. But I think they'd tell you, and look, I am philosophically opposed to making conference champions do the play-in game. I think all conference champions should go straight into the bracket of 64, the real bracket, get to go to a site. But for a team like Longwood that's hot, that's definitely better than their record, not that they want to do that. I don't think anybody ever wants to do the play-in game, but that's a huge opportunity for that conference because I think Longwood's going to win the play-in game. I'm a pound Longwood, whoever they're playing, because I think that's a team that's playing some great basketball right now. They can win, you get a full tournament share, right? The allotment of money that goes to the conference for every winner. You get a full share for your conference if you win that play-in game. And so I think some Big South people are going to be rooting for Longwood and maybe not entirely bummed that they ended up in that play-in game because it'll double their tournament revenue this year, which is a great situation for them in terms of the resources and what they can do. Griff Aldrich, he's in that Tony Shaver tree, right? With Ryan Odom. You heard them give their shout out earlier this week to Hampton Sydney. AWOD, I know, asked Ryan Odom about that in his interview with the VCU basketball coach. That will play at 1 o'clock today, 1 o'clock p.m. right here, 910 The Fan. You can hear AWOD chatting with Ryan Odom, coach of the VCU Rams, getting you ready for that tournament up here. We'll, of course, have all the interviews here from the ACC tournament as everybody starts rolling in. We get the action. Saw my guy Patrick Stevens. He does bracketology for the Washington Post. Last night, he'll be on the show. We'll, of course, have all the regulars, but also all the guys you want to hear from. Jameer Watkins, VCU transfer, has been a big part of Florida State's success this year. I'll be excited to talk to him tomorrow. We'll bring all that to you. Cowan Gates has us up here at the ACC tournament. It's sleepy now, but the monster awakens soon. First tip today at 2 o'clock. That'll be Notre Dame on the court here at 2 o'clock against Georgia Tech. NC State Louisville at 4:30. How NC State ended up in Pillow Fight Tuesday is going to be the subject of many a breakdown for people who are in the conference and in Raleigh and in that area where they care so much about basketball. This was an NC State team that had a lot of hype and a lot of expectations around them. Louisville, no surprise, they are here on Tuesday. Louisville is a cautionary tale about conference expansion that, of course, has gone completely unheeded as the ACC continues to expand. Next year, they'll welcome in Cal and SMU and Stanford into the conference. Louisville looked so good at the time, rolling in football, Lamar Jackson rolling in basketball, that great rivalry with Kentucky. But academically, they weren't a fit, and everything was kind of built on a house of cards. That whole thing has come falling apart. Louisville now the 15 seed, the last team in the ACC this year. Your night game tonight up here, Boston College and Miami, Jim Larrañaga's crew. Rough season for them, obviously. We're still big on Jim Larrañaga long term. So that's the ACC tournament today. Coverage brought to you by Cowan Gates. Reminder, 1 o'clock, AWOD Radio. He'll take on the A-10 and Brooklyn with his interview with VCU coach Ryan Odom. It's a great time of year. I was out here at the CAA last night. There's going to be a great final there tonight. They've got it rolling. Great event here in D.C. And JMU punches their ticket. The Dukes are going dancing. Didn't think we'd say that for a long time, but here we are. JMU, great season for them. Back to the NFL after this. My chat yesterday with Craig Hoffman on our sister station, the Team 980 in D.C. We'll take on what happened yesterday for the Commanders and what they need to do next. That on the other side of this, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 10:18 on a Tuesday morning. We are in Washington, D.C. It's the ACC tournament coverage presented by our friends at Cowan Gates, an attorney for any situation you might need. They're a full-service law firm. They've got us up here all week. We're excited about that. Tip-off today at 2 o'clock at the ACC basketball tournament. Virginia Tech it will be up here. They'll practice. It won't be a public practice since there are games going on. They'll be ready to go noon tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll be live. A little bit of pregame action, getting you ready for Hokies tip-off against the Florida State Seminoles. Leonard Hamilton, the dean of ACC coaches. That will not be an easy game. Jameer Watkins, of course, a former VCU player on that Florida State team. That's going to be a fun one. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the whole week. All ACC teams are out. We'll dive into that in the next segment. But right now, busy week in the NFL as legal tampering and free agency begin. The deals were coming fast yesterday. It was a late night for the Commanders. Three of their five agreements happened, I want to say, after 10 p.m. I texted my guy, John Keim. I said, hey, you know, new regime's keeping you up late. And he reminded me Ryan Fitzpatrick was a late signing as well when Ryan Fitzpatrick came. That was an end of the first night agreement as well. So Commanders used to doing business late night, doing a little early morning business this morning with Cleland Farrell, the Benedictine grad, coming back semi-home. He's coming to D.C. He'll be a defensive end, obviously, position they need a lot of depth at. Austin Ekeler, probably the headliner in terms of name recognition. You know, for me personally, it's bringing back a linebacker. Frankie Louvu, I just think that's so important to have that linebacker position going. Dorrance Armstrong of the Cowboys at defensive end. Tyler Biadasz at center. A lot of names you're going to get to know. A lot of guys who have been backups around the league coming to Washington to get their opportunity to be a starter, to prove themselves. And that's going to be the model here, right? As much as I would have loved big spending, this is a team that's going to play it prudent and is going to try to win through the draft. Adam Peters, he was not being dishonest when he said that's the way they're going to do it and that's the way they're going to do it. But man, what a day in the NFC East yesterday. The New York Giants trade with the Panthers for Brian Burns. They load up. The Philadelphia Eagles are pushing all their chips in. Man, you think about the Eagles who, look, were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Everybody, you know, the Eagles, what a disaster. They were 10-1 at one point this season. They were the best team in football before the wheels fell off. This is a team acting as though their window is closing and they need to get to a Super Bowl pronto, which I am very curious how all this plays in Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys, right? They were the only team in all of football, 32 teams, 31 of them agreed to a contract with a player yesterday. The only team that didn't, the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Jerry Jones has said he's all in to win this year. The window's closing. You know, Dak's contract's catching up to them. You've got, you know, Jerry's certainly getting older. He's running out of time to win another Super Bowl. But man, the Philadelphia Eagles won the offseason yesterday, made the moves. Bryce Huff, a great pass rusher, would have loved for him to be wearing burgundy and gold. I understand why he's not, right? And Adam Peters, we trust. I'm not going to couch chair general manager Adam Peters. He knows what he's doing. Would have loved the big name signing. I understand. Nobody won a game yesterday, but the Eagles got a lot better. Bryce Huff on that pass rush, which is already pretty formidable. Saquon Barkley at running back. I didn't love the Saquon signing as much because of the numbers, right? Because guys, you know, DeAndre Swift went for less. Tony Pollard went for less. Austin Ekeler went for way less. I just think you're buying lottery tickets on these running backs, right? There's so few sure thing running backs. Eagles gave him a lot of money. You know, remember the Cowboys and Zeke. It's not a sure thing. It's never a sure thing to get a running back. The running back situation around the league is probably a little out of control. You've got some guys making big money, some guys getting screwed over. Let's call it what it is. Aaron Jones gets cut in Green Bay yesterday at the end of the day after they get Josh Jacobs from Vegas. Joe Mixon gets cut by the Bengals after they make a sign. These are guys who now get released into a market that is kind of already taking care of itself, right? The carousel's already spun, and they're coming out there looking for a horse to ride. That's the dirty part of the NFL and of football, right? And that's, I never blame any player for trying to get what's his when he can get it, right? Because the league will do you that way on the other end. You know, it's that touch of humanity. It's always been missing from the NFL, and certainly was the case yesterday. And hopefully Adam Peters will run business differently in D.C. San Francisco's a place where players have often complimented, right? That they treat the players like humans and not, you know, like cogs in the machine that are disposable. But the running back carousel spinning, you got guys who are on the market now. Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon. Antonio Gibson, former Commanders back, heads to the New England Patriots, along with Jacoby Brissett. So a little Washington North outpost up there. I love Jacoby Brissett to the Patriots, by the way. If you're breaking in a rookie quarterback, And I think the Patriots will be breaking in a rookie quarterback. We'll see. Picking at number three, we'll see. But I think they'll be breaking in a rookie quarterback. You want a veteran, and I think you want that veteran starting week one. This is my hill. I am prepared to die on it for the next 5-6 months going into training camp. I don't want Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, whoever it is. I don't want them starting week one. That's my take. I want a veteran, and I think New England certainly understands that, bringing in Jacoby Brissett. They've got a guy who can do that. We'll see what they can build up there. I think that's a roster with a lot of holes left from some really poor drafting over the last few years, but I'm hopeful Jacoby Brissett could have some success. Our guy Tyrod Taylor to the Jets, he's going to be Aaron Rodgers' backup. We'll see if he ends up playing any games this year. Certainly would have gotten a lot of action last year if that had been the thing he's doing. But the headline to me, the NFC East, both the Eagles pushing the chips in, I would argue overpaying, but clearly making the statement, we're getting back to prominence this year. And then the Dallas Cowboys not paying anything right after Jerry Jones proclaims they're all in. I think they've got a good roster. I think they've got a good team, but certainly you can understand why the fans there are a little upset. The Giants and Commanders both kind of playing it down the middle. A lot of these signings are short-term, you know, mid-range signings. Biotis, 3 years, $30 million. Dorrance Armstrong, 3 years, $33 million. Frankie Louvu, 3 years, $36 million. Nick Allegretti, at guard, they're bringing in from the Chiefs. A lot of these guys, right, you're in that range. It's not big money. They still have all the cap flexibility they need. Gives them the opportunity to bring in some veteran guys, some guys who haven't gotten the chance to start in the NFL, haven't gotten the chance to start some other places, but to see how they can fit in and whether they can be a part of the future in Washington, D.C. With the Commanders. One other thing that intrigued me yesterday, we talk about running backs, DeAndre Swift goes to the Chicago Bears, who are loading up Bears with that number one pick with Caleb Williams. I don't think that's a team that's going to have a long acclimation, that wants to have a long acclimation period with Caleb Williams. I think that's a team that senses they want to open the window as soon as possible. Will it work? Will it not work? I don't know. I'm not as in on Caleb as Awad is, as some people are. I just think there's always risk in the first round. There's always risk when you grab a young quarterback. They're doing the right thing financially, right? You want to load up that roster when you got a guy on a rookie contract, but there's never a guarantee you get the right guy, right? We talk about one of these three guys is going to succeed. Is it Caleb? Is it Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? You don't know. You can guess. You can say you think it'll be. There are very, very few sure things in the NFL. It's part of why we love it, part of the fun. We'll slide back into basketball in our next segment. Reese Beekman, two-time ACC Defensive Player of the Year. We'll give you the rest of the first team. Some thoughts on that as we roll along. We're in D.C. thanks to our friends at Cowan Gates getting ready to tip off the ACC tournament. We're about 3.5 hours away from that. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
All right, we'll get to the Iditarod update. That's the most important thing we do, of course. Don't hear otherwise. But we got a little breaking news. NFL free agency day two. The deals keep coming fast and furious here. Marcus Mariota is coming to the Washington Commanders. Marcus Mariota will sign a one-year deal with the Commanders. Here's your Adam Schefter report. $6 million with incentives that could raise it to $10 million. So that is slightly less than Jacoby Brissett made last year, but very much in line with what backup quarterbacks cost. That deal tells me he will be the backup to whoever is selected number two overall. The question is, what do you do with Sam Howell, right? Sam Howell I would keep him on the roster as a number three. Will he get you trade value? Could you trade him for a third round pick? That's doable. I think that would be in play for them for sure. But I don't know if that's the case here. Let's see what we got here. Yes. So $6 million goes to $10 million with incentives. That's Marcus Mariota to the Washington Commanders to be their backup quarterback. Of course, I don't have to tell you, we assume they're going to turn in the card for a starting quarterback at number two. So my first reaction to that is, yeah, you figured they were going to go for a veteran quarterback at some point. Marcus Mariota turns out to be that guy in D.C. Mariota's not going to be your long-term starter. You know, you got lots of ways you could go with that backup, right? He's cut from that Colt McCoy cloth of can come in, can do what you need him to do when he can do it, but also at the same time, he's not going to challenge for that starting job in a tangible way, right? Whoever's picked at number two, that's going to be your guy. Mariota will be there waiting to back up. I still think I would love to see Mariota start, you know, or Howell start the season. Yeah, I'm guessing they'll probably trade Sam Howell. I'd keep him as a number three. I'm planting my flag there. That's what I do. That's not the hill I'm dying on. The hill I'm dying on is I'd start Marcus Mariota week one and let the rookie do their thing. So Marcus Mariota, your new NFL free agent signing, base value $6 million. He'll come to the Commanders to back up whoever they select in the draft at number two. So let speculation season begin on that one. All right. Hazel, our first remote show. We're in D.C. Your first remote show as lead producer here, MP on the mic. I think things are going very well. How's it going back in the studio?
So far, so good. Nothing's on fire. That's a good one.
Sometimes you just have to define success in ways that will allow you to have that success. I love it. Everything sounds great on this end. Of course, if you're in D.C. or you're going up to Brooklyn, you can enjoy today's program on the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. You can enjoy any part of this show at any time. My favorite part of this show every day is the Iditarod update, Hazel. What's cooking at the Iditarod today?
Oh, I am so in. Dallas CV is set to break the record. The fastest Iditarod. He's still in the lead. That's our moose guy.
He's on record pace. Even with the penalty?
I don't know. He's going to have to go about an hour faster, I think, to...
If he sets the Iditarod record and is penalized, even after being penalized for not properly dressing a moose, I mean, that's... Sometimes you got to tip your hat, right? He's the one who's from Fredericksburg?
He is. Yep.
All right. Here's what I found. Shaktuluk, Alaska, is a small town of 882 people. It was one of the checkpoints on the Iditarod. There's a pizza place there called Peace on Earth Pizza. Iditarod fans call into the pizza place and order pizzas, pay for pizzas for the mushers, for the drivers, so that they can have pizza as they come into the town.
That's nice.
I think that's nice. I like that. They've been doing this since 2012. A Florida woman called in pizzas for the last place musher, who was in 47th place, so that he could have a little treat as he continued going along the way. And now it's a tradition. People call in and buy pizzas for the mushers.
That's cute. And, you know, if I was in last, I would need a pizza.
I'd need a pizza, whatever place. I would be in last if I was doing this, because I'd be stopping to sleep a whole lot more than they're stopping to sleep. I'd also be cold. I'm not good with cold, yeah. Hazel.
It better be hot pizza. It's outside temperature. It's a little frozen. I've been waiting for you in the igloo.
That's the stuff like Hallmark Channel Christmas movies are made of. You know, she owns a pizza shop in a town of 882 people. He's a crusty big city lawyer who came to sue her out of existence. But what happens when they fall in love?
She should have got that crusty mountain man. She should have saved him. The one that Cuba Gooding Jr. saved his dogs from.
The Iditarod update. Nobody in town gives you more Iditarod coverage than MP on the mic, 910 The Fan. The bulk of the show, of course, is March Madness. Our good friends at Cowan Gates have us up here in Washington, D.C. We're keeping our eye on the ball. ACC tournament about 3 hours now away from starting with Notre Dame and Georgia Tech. NC State plays Louisville later today. Boston College and Miami bringing it home on a great day to celebrate basketball in the great Commonwealth of Virginia. JMU is dancing. The Dukes are going to the tournament. The women fell short in the title game. The men were winners, finally breaking through under Coach Mark Byington. So great to see that. Oh, the other story, of course, we have to address, Hazel. We still haven't seen Kate Middleton. And don't tell me that picture counts, because that picture was photoshopped.
Right. She's not She's not okay. She's still an Oompa Loompa out in Glasgow. We know this. So they're trying to hide the truth from us.
So you know how the other day Awad was on his show talking about how he logs onto Twitter and all he ever sees is Sydney Sweeney and she's everywhere? And we were laughing because, you know, the algorithm picks what you see, of course, you know, when you when you stop and zoom in enough, you know, they give you more of that. My Twitter feed now is 50% sports. And 50%, where is Kate Middleton? I've seen all the conspiracy theories at this point.
What is your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
So the new one is that it wasn't her in the picture, that the picture of her looks exactly like her Vogue magazine cover from last December. So they superimposed that on top of another woman. I don't buy that. I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just saying that's what the internet is saying.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm generally a believer that the simplest explanation is the right one, that she just, you know, the thing where you take a bunch of pictures on your phone and like it merges them together into one good one. I think that's probably what happened here. But I'm just saying the internet's off and running. You know how the internet is. You can't control the internet once it gets rolling.
No, they're onto something. The internet sleuths are out there. They're going to track her down.
No, they still haven't found her yet. I'm just saying. All right, hour number two on tap. Marcus Mariota to the Commanders. A little breaking news there. Got a backup quarterback in D.C. We'll run down the rest of the free agent signings. We'll take you around the world of basketball. Tons of fun ahead in hour number two. This is MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.